With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
The following podcast contains adult themes, sexual content, and strong language. Basically, all the good stuff.
Hi guys, and welcome to My Dad Wrote a Porno.
Alice, what the hell is going on with your face?
Excuse me?
What is up? You came in the door, like you sat down, you haven't explained. Da fuck is going on da face?
Just so for people at home, Alice has got patches of kind of pink cream.
Is it cream? Is it makeup? Is it?
I literally don't know what you're talking
about. It's paste, I think.
There's like a bit on a chin, a bit down a nose.
A like, long bit down a nose. It's a bit like war paint.
Like right at the top of a forehead.
I'm getting a lot of jaw from where I'm sat.
Yeah. Well, it's an on-the-spot treatment.
Oh.
For
spots. But I then got a bit carried away and I've put it all over my face. But there is quite a big spot here. Can you see beneath the surface?
Yes.
And then down my nose, I don't know. I just thought,
Why not?
Fuck it.
And then on my forehead, it might be a scratch, but I've just decided that this is Wonder Cream and it's just going to solve everything. But I did get a cab here and I saw quite a lot of people. No, I did see quite a lot of people when I was waiting for the cab.
Does it
look good? Could I get away with it day to day?
You look $1 million, honestly.
You can annoyingly pull it off.
Yeah.
But we left the book on quite a cliffhanger.
Yes.
Well, not a cliffhanger really, but something of interest.
Sure. What was it? Like Belinda's gone to pray or something? She's gone into a church?
Well, she's being followed by Spooner, which is more what I was referencing.
Did you know someone tweeted us and said their name is James Spooner?
Yeah. A long-time listener.
Can you believe that? If your actual name turned up as you're listening.
But also the fact that we're like, what a stupid name. And then someone's like, it's my name.
And he said his nickname is Spoons.
Well, Dad's done his research, hasn't he?
Can we go back and delete episodes if we feel like they don't stand up to the test of time?
But does he call his penis his teaspoon? That's the big question.
I cannot verify that. I haven't been on a date with him yet.
Or dessert spoon. You don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Soup spoon?
Serving spoon.
Serving spoon. A spatula?
A spatula? Why so flat?
Oh, yeah, it's not really a spoon, is it?
Actually, no shade if you do have a really flat one.
So what do we think? Do you think Belinda is now the special one?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm so fickle. Oh, James, you're like me, so broken by it. It's like, stop playing with our emotions. One minute I feel so sure that it's utter tripe and I just don't care. And the next minute I'm like, Maeve? And then the next minute I'm like, Belinda for sure.
Yeah, at this stage.
If I had a gun to your head and I said, you've got a, you know, one end of this rickety rope bridge is the special one and the other end is your family. I'm like mixing quite a lot of metaphors here, but basically you've got to choose. Who is it?
Choose what? I don't understand.
The gun's to your head. Your family.
Who's
going to
die? I'm
confused. If push came shove, who?
Giselle.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I'm on Belinda.
I think I'm on Belinda. Is anyone on Maeve anymore?
Oh, Maeve might as well be dead in a ditch somewhere for how relevant she is at this point.
I think it might be Maeve, actually.
Oh, see? Like, fucking hell!
But it also might be Bella. I don't know.
She might as well be dead in a ditch for how useful she is on the front desk of Steele's Pots and Pans, for God's sake.
Okay, well, maybe we'll find out this chapter.
Don't be stupid.
What's it called, by the way? You didn't tell us last chapter.
Oh, yeah, I didn't say that.
You're part of the problem if you're going to keep saying things like, maybe we'll find out this chapter.
Sorry.
You're an enabler.
I've got Stockholm Syndrome. This week's chapter is called The Meat.
The Meat. M-E-A-T?
No, M-E-E-T.
M-E-E-T. The Meat.
The meat.
Ooh.
Not classic Flintstone, but...
No. Quite chic for a Flintstone title.
Yeah.
It almost passes an actual, title.
The Meat. So it's kind of like a meeting, but it's a meat. It's a semi-meeting.
But I guess spies would call it the meat, like the drop.
Right. Where you both sit on a bench and then say a code.
Precisely.
And hand over a briefcase.
Yeah, and then have the newspaper and the trench coat, yeah.
Okay, you're into it, I like it.
Oh, I wouldn't go that far.
Okay, so, Belinda Blinked 4, Chapter 11, The Meat. Mm-hmm. Belinda thanked the altar boy for letting her into the big room.
It was an altar boy. That was the figure. The mysterious figure was an altar boy. Mm. Brilliant.
And the big room, we presume, is the church.
Yes.
Because it is one big room.
Well,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And altar boys are employed full time in churches. They're not just there for mass. They're just there to open doors, let people in. They just hang around.
Well, you were once an altar boy.
I was an altar boy.
So you would know all about that.
Thank you, Jamie.
Did you open the door to international sales directors?
I didn't, no. But we had to wear white robes with a red cinching belt.
You added that. That wasn't part of it.
And yeah, it was a glorious time in my life.
So what do you do? Did you sing?
No, you just like, you're an altar server. So you're just doing stuff on the altar. Like you're helping the priest.
Yeah.
You're like...
So we've heard.
You hold... Oh my God. You hold books for them. You like take stuff to the... Like take bread to them and stuff.
Hold books and take bread. This is genius. How do I get an altar boy? They're my two main things that I need.
God, if only they knew what I'd become.
Yeah.
A gay porn star.
Is this not okay?
This would be frowned upon. Right. I have now turned my back on the church.
How many Hail Marys would you have to do because of this?
Fucking hell, I dread to think.
No, it's fine because he's a Catholic, so just confess, then you're all good to go.
Oh, are you? Once you've gone in the little booth?
Repent and you're good.
Confess, two Hail Marys, clear.
Ready to go?
Ready to go. But I'm not Catholic anymore.
Okay.
I'm just a boy trying to get by in this crazy world.
I'm just a boy looking at a boy. Asking that boy to kiss him out of the side of the church.
Belinda thanked the altar boy for letting her into the big room outside of opening hours.
Aren't there opening hours for churches? Surely you can go to church whenever you want.
Yeah, the door is always open.
It is sanctuary, isn't it? But I don't think anymore.
Yes, it is sanctuary, isn't it? You're right.
What? Well, no, it is, isn't it? In olden days, it was like sanctuary.
The doors are always supposed to be open.
Yes.
But is that not the case?
Well, I think a lot of churches now do have designated times that you can go in. Not very Christian, if you ask me.
You get the crockery stolen if you leave it open all times.
Well, I'm not saying leave all the valuables out and, you know, on display, but you could leave the... No one's going to drag a pew out, are they?
Well,
actually, quite nice.
The room was 100% empty. Except for a few balding monks.
So not empty at all.
So not even near 100%.
90% empty.
40%. There's loads of monks in it.
An organ cleaner.
Oh, fucking hell, it's a party.
Thrushing its pipes with a groan and a hum. And an old crone praying. Praying. Praying in one of the pews.
In one of the pews, right. Mm. A crone, sorry.
One of those lovely pews that you could steal.
Yes, exactly.
Not just a villager of a certain age, a crone.
Crone's very, very disrespectful, isn't it?
An old crone.
What makes you a crone? What's the difference between a crone and a hag again?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I imagine like a crone would have a really hunched back.
Right.
Mm. Perhaps like very greasy grey hair.
I'm imagining, you know, the...
Describing me.
A cross between you and the Wicked Witch in Snow White. You know, the one that gives her the apple.
She's a crone, not a hag.
I would say she's a crone.
What's a hag then?
I feel like a hag's
you,
got...
You, that is you. <You're>
Not doing very well out of this equation, am I?
I feel like a hag's got a bit more glamour to them.
So a hag is what? Mutton dressed as lamb?
Joan Collins.
Is a hag?
I mean, of sorts, I guess.
Joan Collins is a hag. You're going on record saying that.
I don't fucking know.
Okay, so I thought they were related, crones and hags, but they're not. Because you use hag rather a lot. And I would say a kind of traditional nursery rhyme fisherman's wife might be a hag, but you're saying a lot more cubic zirconia than that.
Yeah, exactly. What you're describing is the traditional sense. We've commandeered the word to mean like a glamorous, hag. Like, I don't really know how else to describe it. Just a woman who just doesn't give a shit. And it's just a bit mental.
The Duchess, I reckon, is a bit
Duchess
of a
is a hag.
So you're sassy, glamorous,
yeah,
and a bit rude.
Yeah. It is a badge of honour to be called a hag, I think. So you should be very proud.
It is very much not a badge of honour to be called a crone.
No. We can all agree on that.
Okay.
So Belinda swooshed across the flagstones and snuck in beside the hag. Oh, now she is a hag.
She's suddenly glammed up.
She's got a bit closer. You can see her in the light. She waited patiently until the woman noticed her presence by the way of her potent lavender de liquefaction.
What?
Lavender, yes. De liquefaction perfume.
De liquefaction. Is that a real perfume?
De liquefaction.
It doesn't ring a bell. I don't even really know what language that's in.
Leak faction.
Leak. It's made of leeks.
L-I-Q-E-F-A-C-T-I-O-N.
I really lost track. L-I-Q-E.
Leek. Leekfaction.
Leekfaction perfume.
Lovely. Sounds lovely.
Mm. Parfum.
I bet she stinks of it as well. I bet she lathers herself in it. So the crone's like, fucking hell, what the hell is that?
It didn't take long for her to be noticed. The coughing crone turned to Belinda and said,
"What did the nightingale sing to the dustman?"
Sorry, I've got the wrong pew. My bad. Sorry, I was looking for C20. I seem to have taken a wrong turn.
Belinda looked around herself before answering, "Mr. Bojangles."
Oh, shut up.
It's code. They're having a code chat.
Incorrect.
The crone smiled a toothy smile.
"You made it then."
Oh, what the hell's going on?
She's going to peel off her face. She ain't no crone.
Who's dressed as the crone?
"Yes, just as you said, I am."
What?
What? I am what?
Here.
Oh, sorry. I am has got like a hyphen next to it. So I should have read.
Oh, I am dot, dot, dot.
I am. Suddenly, Belinda was cut off when the crone's tin of cough mint started to beep.
Oh my God, it's a gadget. It's a gadget.
She flicked it open and brought the box to her ear.
Oh my God, it's a bomb.
Listening intensely.
Okay, why would you put a bomb to your ear?
I don't know. I just panicked. It's not a bomb.
It's a phone.
She gasped and turned to face Belinda nose to nose.
"You've been compromised,"
she croaked.
Surely there's better code for "you've been compromised" than "you've been compromised." Wouldn't you go like, "Tally ho, pansy face," or whatever, "gravel sandwiches and cheese on head face meat." You just say, wouldn't you say, "there's a jumble of words," rather than like, "they've got you."
"You've been compromised,"
she croaked. "Impossible," spluttered Belinda. "I changed at Hull."
I did everything I possibly could.
That's foolproof.
Yeah, she did change at Hull. Did she fly to Hull, then get a train?
No, I think she... I don't know, actually. She got the Europa line to England. Maybe that goes to Hull, I don't know.
Where are you flying to Hull from?
But Hull's not a connection, right? Because it's so far east.
Yeah. Where are you flying to in Hull? What is this international airport in Hull?
I don't know.
You know Hull. Is there?
I know there's not a massive international airport.
Wait, let me check. Hang on. There is an international airport.
It's not
near
called
Hull.
Hull Airport.
Humberside Airport.
Oh, right. Oh,
is that what Humberside is? I never knew that.
So what? That's flying to all sorts of exciting places.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's not got some great reviews, I'm not going to lie.
Oh, no.
They simply cannot be this oblivious of how badly run this place is.
Or how badly written that review is.
Yeah.
No healthy food available.
Oh, no. Oh.
David's furious with his experience at Humberside Airport. Unfriendliest airport ever. No healthy food available. Another one. Why is everyone on this vegan food? Willing to pay for hot milk for own porridge, but was told it was not allowed.
David, my darling, do you think that ruined his holiday on the way out, or that was on the way back?
Oh, God, I don't know.
I also feel like people are just going to Humberside Airport for their night out, for their evening meal.
Own porridge. That is so sad. So, impossible, spluttered Belinda. I changed at Hull.
Well, they've followed you. An evil agent is on your toenails.
There you go, code.
For heels.
We've got to get out of here. Pronto.
Chest pains of inadequacy pounded Belinda's heartstrings.
Oh my, that's a lot of biology going on there.
As she followed the crone down past the altar and backstage.
What does this mean?
Backstage.
Yeah, they don't call it that. It's called the sacristy, actually, if anyone wants to know.
Oh, is it?
All the showgirls with their tits out like, oh!
Like, does this mean Belinda's the special one?
Well, she's meeting someone.
Or it could mean that Spoons has dobbed her in thinking that she is.
Yeah.
He's called it in.
Yeah. But why is she trying to evade Spooner if she brought him in the first place?
She doesn't know it's Spooner.
Oh, God. I'm
Yeah, because he's following her.
So she doesn't necessarily know why
she's compromised.
Yeah.
Just as they slipped out of sight, James Spooner entered the church. He slinked across the marble like...
Why is everyone slinking across the marble?
He slinked across the marble like the spy he truly was, sensing the presence of a dissenting businesswoman and her accomplice.
He saw her go in. Of course he's sensing... I think Belinda's here. I'm an idiot.
And as you said 1,000 times before, don't move like the spy that you are. Move like someone completely inconspicuous.
He readied his gun and...
Gun? He's working in a church?
This has escalated quickly.
In front of monks?
In front of crone?
Men of the cloth?
He readied his gun and started to inspect behind each pillar, certain to expose his prey.
What? He's just seen where they went.
Also, he's going to find her and then just shoot her in the head. A point blank range.
And the crone. The accomplice.
All for some pots and pans sales. The moment he reached behind the altar was the exact minute Belinda and the crone bundled into their getaway car.
Oh, that's bad timing.
And zip, they were gone.
They gone.
Oh, baby girl, they long gone.
They gone.
Right, okay.
So he reached behind the altar like, gotcha. Oh, no, not there. He's literally playing hide and seek, like behind a pillar. Oh, no. Why has he got an AK-47?
38 minutes later, the two women were finally in the safety of Belinda's hotel suite.
Why is she trusting the crone?
Why didn't they meet at the hotel suite?
No, James, this is now safe house territory. They've had to go to plan B. Right. She didn't want to reveal where she was staying, but they've just had to do whatever they can do.
They had to get away.
I guess the last place you would find Belinda would be in a church or any kind of holy, sacred ground.
It's so a sanctuary.
It's a sanctuary.
The crone turned to face Belinda and immediately started scratching at her face.
Sorry, she's not going to sex the crone.
Gradually, the wrinkled skin flaked off.
Sorry, the crone is scratching at Belinda's face.
I thought that, but no, she must be scratching at her own. She's got...
Oh, hang on. The crone turned to face Belinda.
Yeah.
And immediately started scratching at her face.
At her own face.
At her own face.
That isn't clear to me.
Because otherwise Belinda's wearing a mask and Belinda... Oh my God, the whole time Belinda's been wearing a mask. I knew it. I knew the crone. I knew inside the crone was a kid stood on another kid wearing a long coat.
It's two altar boys, isn't it?
Those little shits.
Gradually, the wrinkled skin flaked off, revealing...
Oh, save that. Marcus Aurelius will build something out of that.
Revealing the warm features of Agent Helga.
Oh! Why? Why?
What are you talking about?
What's Helga got to... Oh, my God.
What's Helga got to do with it? Got to do with it?
Sorry, can I just say, it was great that she scratched away the face of a crone to reveal another crone.
We are in grave danger, Miss Blumenthal. She gasped in her native Texan drawl.
What?
Eh?
Oh,
because she's off FBI.
We are in grave danger, Miss Blumenthal.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Dolly Parton.
He's young enough to be my husband.
They call me a dumb blonde. Well, I ain't dumb, and I'm certainly not blonde.
Oh!
No, that's a hack.
Queen thereof, surely.
We are in grave danger, Miss Blumenthal. She gasped in her native Texas drawl.
She sounds too jolly to be saying they're in grave danger.
Oh, sorry.
No, I just mean generally, like, Texan just sounds quite nice,
doesn't
it?
Yeah, quite a nice accent. Happy. Yes, I don't have a doubt about it whatsoever.
Chill out, sweetheart.
Belinda replied as she started to strip the FBI angel of her rags.
Yawn.
We're in grave danger. Shall we shag?
It wasn't long before her tits were pounding in the saleswoman's fists.
Sorry, her tits are pounding in her fists? Oh, like throbbing?
Like punch bags.
And her pussy was drooling.
Drooling. Think about what you're writing, you silly man.
silly man.
You really have tried my patience now.
Would you really be, like, dribbling pre-cum if you're in grave danger.
Fight or flight.
Belinda shook off her wet clothes and kicked them into a corner. Of course she did.
They're wet with cum?
No, it was raining.
Oh, right. Okay, I was going to say.
Because Scotland.
Oh, famously.
The women led one another to the slender coffee table and began to chow down.
On the coffee table?
You're in grave danger. What are you doing?
Well, I guess if you know you're going to die...
Go out with a bang.
Know what
literally.
I mean? Literally.
But hang on. I guess if they're in the hotel suite, maybe this is their, like Alice said, like their safe house.
Sounds very safe to me.
So we're in grave danger. Let's just stay put and have some fun.
Don't fucking know.
Me and you have got to repopulate the earth. Oh, wait, we're both girls. Okay, well, let's just try anyway.
Chow down.
Chow down is so unpleasant, isn't it? As a phrase.
Yes, it's hot. It's like,
chow.
It's like dog food or something.
Yeah, it's awful. Chow mein is what I think chow of.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
They were sopping and screaming and dreaming and believing. When the desktop telephone rang.
Just the telephone.
Helga stuffed her labia further into Belinda's mouth.
And can we please...
Oh!
Can we please just have a break?
You can't put them in, can you? You can't, like... How thick are they?
I don't think you should be stuffing anything. Let whoever's doing that just lead the way.
Yeah, don't force yourself in.
How can you force a vagina into someone's mouth?
Right, into, you know, their crotch the can be like...
Mm. Yeah, I take your point.
Helga stuffed her labia further into Belinda's mouth, ensuring her silence.
Just say, can you keep your voice down? There's no need
to
do that.
On the lips.
Honestly.
Switch lips. The agent dropped her own voice to a hushed whisper of a sound lost on the winds.
I'm sorry, what?
The agent dropped her own voice
yes.
to a hushed whisper.
Yeah.
Of a sound lost on the winds.
Right.
Right.
You're sticking with that.
So almost inaudible, even to the person you're talking to by the sounds of it.
Oh, don't bother then. Oh, she's on the phone though.
It's probably bugged. Let me. Could you hear that?
Let me what?
Belinda nodded between her legs as Helga answered the old rotary phone in an accent.
Another accent on an accent.
And is she going to whisper in case it's bugged? Because obviously bugs can't pick up whispering.
Good luck, Jamie.
Lo, maid.
Oh, dear. Oh, dearie me.
Lo, maid.
Lo, maid.
Saying hello.
Oh, sorry, I see.
The seconds passed. As she listened to the person who had called the telephone.
Yes, that's how it works. Oh my God, you'd built so much tension. Hurry the fuck up.
Oh shit. Helga blinked.
Oh.
It's the front desk, she said. They say your fiancé is here.
What?
Belinda blinked.
This is like baffling. Wait, anyone else just
what
like...
What do you think? Who do you think's at the desk? Spooner?
Yeah. He's, like, pretending to try and get Belinda down.
But why would you say, can you ring up and say her husband's here? Because you'd be like, I don't have a husband.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, could you tell her that her long-lost brother's here? I don't have a long-lost brother.
Okay, can you tell her that her second father wants to move the disc?
Tell it's her friend Mark.
Helga felt cheated and bereft at the same time. What the fuck's going on, Belinda?
Yeah.
You've just been slobbering all over me. Oh, I see it. You'll do anything to get me to tell you about my espionage case files.
Look at Jamie with his hand on his hip.
So sassy.
It's quite a hard accent, actually. Don't be stupid, Helga. What fiancé? I'm Belinda Blumenthal. I don't do fiancés.
Oh.
She doesn't do boyfriends.
Has she said she doesn't do boyfriends before?
Well, she just does everything, doesn't she?
Okay, replied a sulky Helga.
We don't have time for sulking.
Lie to me all you want. But he's downstairs waiting. Well, send him up. I have nothing to hide. said Belinda breezily as she spread her perfect legs, enticing her American chum.
Has she still got the labia in her mouth at this point? Because they're having a lovely old chat. Has she choked out the labia or?
Yeah.
I think she's hocked up the labia. Yeah.
Right.
Also, we're in a dangerous situation. Someone pretending to be someone that obviously they aren't wants to come up. Yeah, bring them up. Yeah, send them to our room.
Yeah, because she doesn't know it's Spooner.
No, she doesn't know who it is.
They're such idiots.
They are fucking so stupid.
He's got a gun.
They don't know that, though.
Well, I'm trying to warn them. Belinda!
Helga should know. Maybe Helga's got a gun. Hidden in her croneware.
Helga huffily told reception to send up Belinda's future husband, and the girls made themselves look presentable. Just as Helga was tucking her blouse into her slacks, she stopped dead.
Hang on. Suppose he's the bad spa guy from the church.
Do you think so? Bloody hell.
She's the worst FBI agent in the world.
It's like the Chuckle Brothers doing spies.
Hang on. Suppose he's the bad spy guy from the church.
Suppose.
Also, bad spy guy. He's the bad spy guy.
They don't know he was at the church, though, do they?
Well, that's why they ran out, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because they knew someone was coming.
Because someone called her on a cough mint.
No, I know, but she knew.
Do you remember the cough mint?
She knew that they were compromised. She didn't know he got to the church.
Oh, fuck. Screamed Belinda. We surely have met our maker.
Oh, she's just resigned to it.
I think she's going to die. He's going to shoot us and that's the end
of it. Not even going to put up a fight. He's not even there yet.
Call the police.
Well, she's with the police. Yeah. She's supposedly with the best police.
The best of the best.
Crap,
yelled Helga as she unobtrusively pulled her automatic pistol out from under the sofa cushion.
Bloody knew it.
And held it ready in her right hand. You two are basically calling this entire chapter.
Jamie, it's been, what, 3 years? We're so in tune now with him, I think we know what's coming.
Mm.
He's predictably unpredictable. So they've gone to Belinda's hotel room, which Helga had already stuck a gun under the sofa cushion in, preemptively.
I wonder if she put it under there when they were getting sexy, so that she knew where it was in a time of attack.
Okay, sure, yeah, okay, that's feasible.
Or she could have pre-visited the hotel, placed one under every sofa cushion in every room, not knowing which room was Belinda's.
That one, I think it's that one.
She clicked the safety catch just as the door knocked. She opened the door.
Why would you open the door?
Stand steady, cowboy,
Helga hissed at the man.
Raise your arms, now!
Belinda screamed.
Oh my God, who is it?
Do the scream.
Spooner!
What's happening?
What is happening?
She just shouted Spooner.
Why did she do it in slow motion?
Well, it's like all O's.
It's all O's.
And...
Okay.
So you think it's more Spooner falling down a cliff than Spooner?
Like when the mum shouts Kevin in Home Alone 2. Kevin! Spooner!
Maybe it's that. Okay. Belinda screamed.
Spooner!
Helga's heart fell. It truly was Belinda's fiancé.
What are you... No, Helga, are you...
Now, fiancé, drawled Helga in her southern Texan accent. Yes, thank you. We've got it.
Can Belinda not just jump in here and go, no, sorry, not my fiancé. Don't know why he's here. Know that he's like some undercover investigation guy. He potentially is the bad spy guy. Shoot him in the head. But she's going to let her get her spiel out, is she?
Drop your piece.
Okay, but that's a good start.
Spooner looked at Belinda, who nodded, and Spooner pulled his gun from his trousers waistband.
Trousers waistband.
Dropping it onto the ugly brown patterned carpet.
Not the time to be worried about the carpet.
Write your TripAdvisor review later.
Does it sell hot milk?
He brought that gun from home. Good boy, breathed Helga.
Belinda, pick it up and bring it to me.
Belinda looked into Spooner's eyes and said, James, it's okay. She's FBI.
Oh, my... there's going to be a murder up in here and none of these three people are committing it. I'm going to kill someone. I'm so angry.
Why so angry?
Because why is everyone so stupid?
Because it's Belinda Blink.
They know their lives are in danger. James Spooner from The Office has just turned up at their door with no reason. They're not expecting him.
Well, Helga doesn't even know who he is.
Helga doesn't know who he is. He's posing as a fiancé. Some bad spy guys on their tail. They're going to die. I mean, that's why I'm angry.
Yeah, okay. Well, now you've explained it, I kind of agree.
Idiots.
So Belinda looked into Spooner's eyes and said, James, it's okay. She's FBI and with us. Just do as she says and we'll all be able to move on quickly. Spooner nodded his head and somehow started to relax.
Oh, fine. Yeah, great. You got any biscuits?
So in theory, they're pals.
Yeah.
Yeah, they work together.
But they're not. So Helga was the original informant. James was brought on because of Helga's information. Rocky's clearly found a really convoluted way to bring them all together so they can crack this once and for all as this, like, awful crime-fighting trio.
So why would he follow Belinda and not just say...
Because maybe he did think that Belinda could be the special one, but now that he knows that she's working with the FBI, that might be like, oh, okay.
So Belinda is really in the clear now. I mean, it just can't be Belinda.
Yeah.
Is it the wrong time to admit I'm not really following?
Alice, you and millions of others.
I honestly, every time at the beginning when you say, who do you think it is, I just say a name to try and be in the gang.
You actually said the same as me this week.
I don't understand what's going on.
I was like, Belinda, you're like, yeah.
Yeah, me too. Oh, definitely. All my chips on her.
Honestly, the amount of tweets we get of people like, is anyone else just not following? Everyone else is completely confused.
And every time you trace it out, James, like, it does help me for a second and then I'll lose it again.
Spooner nodded his head and somehow started to relax. If Belinda was the mole, he'd be dead by now.
Right, so he was acting on a hunch that Belinda, despite the fact he's been working with her, could have been the special one.
Because when he was going through her office... He found the trip to Scotland and didn't know what it meant, so maybe that's why...
So his strategy, just so I'm clear, was to go to her hotel room posing as her fiancé, and if she shot him dead, then he knew that she was the mole.
You're the...
And if she doesn't, but it's like the witch test, where the witches sank or floated. Okay, fine. So she didn't shoot him in the head.
She's not the special one.
Therefore, she's not the special innocent. One. Right.
Okay, Mr. Fiancé.
Stop saying that.
Drawled Helga. God, Dad's loving the drawl. Do they only drawl in Texas?
That's because southern people drawl.
Okay, Mr. Fiancé. Drawled Helga. Let's remove your jacket and shirt. Spooner removed the light European issue leather coat and his breathable in any situation Marks and Spencer shirt.
You don't want sweat patches, do you, when you're on a serious job?
No. You're right, Jay.
Why is it mad that it's from Marks and Spencer?
Because that's Dad trying to get some Marks and Spencer's clobber. He calmly threw them away.
Down a rubbish chute.
As if it was something he did every time he was questioned by a romantically beautiful-looking woman with a pistol pointing at his vitals.
Easy for you to say.
That was very good.
A pistol pointing at your vitals.
Ooh. Now your shoes... Socks. Well, everything.
Spooner nodded his understanding that she wanted him naked, whilst Belinda giggled and thought, Helga is really pissed at his choice of cover story. He'll be damned lucky if she doesn't fuck him.
What?
The perceptive Blumenthal was not far wrong. And once James Spooner had corroborated all of Belinda's story, Helga put her pistol down and stripped off.
Oh, my God, so why did Helga need Belinda's story corroborated?
Belinda's story about James Spooner.
Got ya. Okay, so their stories match up, therefore James is in the clear.
He's in.
And so is Helga, and so is Belinda. And they are now a team.
Okay, let's just leave them then. Let's go elsewhere.
Let's get to Maeve, quick.
Yeah, quick.
So Helga's naked. Belinda did too, of course. Get naked. There was no way she was letting Helga have this hunk of a man meet to herself that rainy Scottish evening. The girls laid him down on the long table.
Is he dead?
Just imagine them both, like, trying to, like, gently lay him down.
Put flowers in his eye sockets and send him off to the afterlife.
And squatted on either side of his face.
How wide's his face?
Their vaginas rubbed his stubble, slowly working their way down his body.
I'm sorry, what
like
is this?
Like a bum shuffle?
Yeah, I don't know. Like...
what is this move? Is this a thing?
I'm imagining the way kids go downstairs.
Yeah.
Like on your bum.
Yeah, they're using him like a big human bottom flannel, essentially.
Yeah, they kind of are. A Brillo pad with all that stubble. Draw your weapon, Agent Spooner, shouted Belinda. And Spoon's cock immediately became erect.
Wow.
Ding!
It's like a magic trick.
Belinda fucked the two spies with virtuoso vigour as Spooner took his turn inside each of them. But he was an MI5 professional, and he knew when he was about to climax.
I think most people know when they're going to climax.
Yeah.
You're never like, oh, God, where on earth did that come from?
So... he reversed out of Belinda's tunnel of devotion.
Stop it. Now that's a fairground ride.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Oh my God, that's one for the theme park.
So he reversed out of Belinda's tunnel of devotion.
You can only reverse out of a tunnel of devotion.
You can. And creamed himself into her belly button.
Oh, Lord.
Your dad just said creamed himself into her belly button.
Why into her belly button?
Yum, yum.
So he reversed out of Belinda's tunnel of devotion.
Beep, 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 beep.
And creamed himself into her belly button. Belinda, giddy with twitching aftershocks, scooped the whitish gunk out of her borehole.
No.
And devoured it down the hatch.
No, no, no.
Getting hotter.
It's boiling in here.
Did a little bit of you just die inside?
It's just got worse recently. I don't know why.
Yeah. Very recently, well, like the last two sentences.
The immediate.
Yeah.
Borehole. We'll just skim over.
When are you going to stop doing this, Jane? Why do you keep doing this to yourself?
It's not good for my health.
Christmas is coming round. It's going to be a long old December.
You don't have to do this.
No, I know.
You don't have to.
I know.
We
yeah,
could,
I
we could stop recording now if you want to.
I know. What? Yeah.
Do you want it falling into the wrong hands, though?
So, Belinda, giddy with twitching aftershocks, scooped the whitish gunk out of her borehole and devoured it down.
How deep is her belly button? Scooped?
Borehole?
Just as she did so, the old phone rang again.
Just say phone.
Bold as a brass monkey, Belinda swallowed. Oh, my. Grabbed it and listened. After a moment and a half, she placed down the phone line.
Just the phone. Just say the word phone. She placed down the phone line. Stop overcomplicating everything, you silly man.
Who was it? Asked Spoons, still panting and mopping his brow with his Y fronts.
Oh,
Y fronts. Oh, he's got like old white mouldy Y fronts
that he's just wiped over his face.
Oh.
Why would you wipe your pants over your face?
Also, like, you'd hope he was wearing a briefs or boxers, not Y fronts.
Yeah,
I feel like Rocky doesn't know about contemporary pants.
No,
no.
Anyway, so Spoons is wiping his sweaty face with his Y fronts. Mm-hmm. Who was it? It was the factory. Professor Slints wants to meet the Glee team tomorrow. But what if the mole is there? I'm too scared to enter that building alone. What if I never come out? No, you must go.
I thought it was Bella for a second. Yeah, sorry, no. Where's Bella? I was hiding in the corner.
No, you must go, drawled Helga.
Drawled,
with typical American directness.
Those damn Americans.
But it must be where the blueprints for the new Trioxy Brillo range are.
You think?
Well, Slints is there.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
No, it's too dangerous. I'm just a middle management senior sales executive.
Exactly. So why is she in this mess?
It's literally nothing to do with you. Just do your job.
Such a fucking busybody.
Your nose out of it.
She's right, Belinda. You have to go. for a queen, for a country, and for steels, pots, and pans.
Bum, bum, bum.
In that order, you see, I'd put steels at the top because I don't think the queen gives a flying fuck, and I really don't think it's going to affect the country.
She looked aghast from male agent to female agent. Belinda blinked. And that's the end of the chapter.
Oh my God.
What does she think's going to happen at the factory? Like, she's going to die?
Apparently so.
Well, I guess now that she's seeing guns in action, maybe it's made it all a bit real.
She'd get lasered quite a while ago and she wasn't boffed about that.
Why has everyone got guns? Where's their firearms license come from?
Well, they are all agents, to be fair.
Oh, okay.
Only licensed personnel have firearms. Thank you.
Oh, just got a bit more life and death than I was expecting earlier on. It seems so tame.
I mean, it did, but did you ever really feel at any point anyone was in any serious jeopardy?
Well, no, that's the thing. I thought that we were building to that when he was playing hide and seek in the church, but then nobody seemed boffed.
No.
Just didn't care, did they? No. So what's the point in putting their lives in danger if everyone's just going to be like, oh, well.
Yeah, and also stagger that out over a few chapters. I mean, how good would that have been as a cliffhanger? Spooner in the church, they're just escaping the church. He's got his gun out, no one knows who's going to...
Oh, yeah, that'd be better.
Yeah,
that would be better. You should talk to your dad.
Shall I give him some tips?
Yeah.
There's some other stuff I'd like you to bring up as well, actually.
Yeah, I know, on the list of priorities. That's actually quite far down, James, but I'll be sure to mention it.
Dare we ask? Are we allowed to know? The next chapter?
A factory visit.
Has he checked out on the titles towards the end of this?
Right, I know.
So we go to the factory then?
I would imagine so.
Is this penultimate chapter?
Next week, yeah.
God. I know. Maybe we'll meet Slints.
Yeah.
Oh, we definitely have got to meet Slints. And he'll have a great accent, I don't doubt.
Should I get practicing now?
Yes. I think you should.
Okay. Give me a week just to prepare.
Some
get
options.
Into character.
As always, you can get in touch with us via our social channels. We all know them now. My Dad Wrote Her on Instagram.
At Dad Wrote a Porno on Twitter.
One day we'll make them all the same. It's My Dad Wrote a Porno on Facebook. And if you want to email us something longer, some thoughts, mydadwroteaporno@gmail.com.
And thanks to Acast, as always, for hosting this absolute shambles.
See you next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.